As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning. I'm sure you can hear that. That's the sound of coins. Gold coins. I'm sitting here in the remains of Nargothrond, the ruins of the city. And now that the dragon is gone, there's just this mass of wealth. It's like a mound of all the things that you would have acquired over centuries. If you were a elven lord, that is. The dragon piled everything into this chamber and was clearly nesting in it. And here, underneath me, is more wealth than anybody would ever know what to do with. There's a ridiculous amount of gold and silver and gems, all sorts of things. Heck, even the Naglamir. Do you remember the Naglamir? The necklace that the dwarves from Nagrod and Belagost made for Finrod? Do you remember this? Finrod brought with him a bunch of gems from Valinor, and the friendship between Finrod and many different peoples, but specifically the dwarves in this case, led to the creation of this beautiful necklace with gems from the Holy City. It is an object that is beyond priceless. And here it is, just sitting in the pile amidst all of these other coins and trinkets. And it raises the question, what is the value of wealth? Really? What is valuable? And I think that this is a question that Tolkien raises in his writings on many occasions. What is the true nature of value? What things actually have value? What is the worth of all of this gold, of all of this wealth, if it doesn't go with you when you die? What is the value of any of this if your relationships break down? If at the end of the day, you lose the people that you love? And that can happen in many different ways. That can happen in the case of Húrin and his family, and losing the lives of the people that he cared about the most. And we've just gone through stories about Húrin, and we just learned that he was reunited with Morwen, and then she passed. He lost his children. What is the worth of any of this if the people you love don't survive? And let's not even go that severe. What's the worth of any of this if the people that you love can't trust you, or you can't trust them? What if it's not the individuals that die? What if it's the relationship that dies through distrust? And we don't even have to go that far. What if it's not just family members? What if it's not even friends and the people that are close acquaintances with you? What if it's entire groups? What about elves and men or dwarves? Those relationships, when They work well when they can trust each other, when they are on the same page, when they are founded in the kind of love that Finrod would give even new people that he didn't know. Give them a chance. Welcome them in. When those kinds of relationships are built on trust, they build beautiful things, like the Noglamir. But when they are broken, they lead to all sorts of terrible, terrible consequences. And this is one of Morgoth's greatest wins against the free people of Middle-earth. Sure, sometimes there are conflicts, physical conflicts, battles, and sometimes Morgoth wins. But we've already seen on numerous occasions where he doesn't always prevail when it comes to even those kinds of conflicts, when it seems like the odds are absolutely against his adversaries. Sometimes he fails. But you know what he seems to succeed at the most? Is sowing distrust. Is breaking relationships. Is putting in those lies with the truth in a way that tears people apart. In this episode, things are only going to get worse before they get better. That's the trend here. The way that the beginning of the Silmarillion works, with the birth of so many beautiful things. And yeah, there's tragedy and there's terrible stuff that happens at the beginning as well. But we get new things all the time. At this point in the story, there is a lot of the ending of stories. In today's episode, we're going to see the end of a few stories and how distrust and corruption of the information and the way that a character can view a situation can do harm. So hold on tight. Here we go. We're continuing the story of Húrin and the things that he's been doing now that he's out in the world and he is free. So after the death of Morwen, he decides to head toward Nargothrond. He follows the road from the crossing of Teiglin, where we left off. And as he's heading eastward, he sees Amon-Rudd. Remember the location that Túrin and his group were at, the hill outside of Nargothrond, where Mim the Dwarf lived. And they lived for quite a while until tragedy struck. And he knew everything that had befallen there. Or at least he had seen through Morgoth's vision what happened there. And I'm going to put this out there. Remember, just because Morgoth gives you vision to something doesn't mean that you're looking through a crystal clear lens that isn't slanting that in some way. And sometimes Morgoth lets the truth come through, and sometimes he flavors it. He frames it in a way that would make it worse and isn't 100% true. This has been Túrin's life, seeing the world through Morgoth's eyes, not knowing what he can trust. And so he comes to the banks of the Narrog, crosses the Wild River. Remember, the bridge is broken. This was the site of a great conflict against a dragon. He approaches the doors, which are broken, of Nargothrond, the great city. And he reaches the entryway and he looks inside, and who is there? Not orcs, not elves, but Mim the Petty Dwarf. The text tells us that Mim crept within the ruined walls and he took possession of them and sat there fingering the gold and the gems, letting them run ever through his hands And as Hurin comes to the door, Mim hears him and demands, "Who is this? Who comes forth?" And Hurin responds. He says, "Who are you that would hinder me from entering the house of Finrod Felagund?" And Mim answers, "I am Mim. And before the Proud Ones came from over the sea, dwarves delved the halls of Nulukizdin. I have been returned to take what is mine, for I am the last of my people." Mim feels that he has a claim to this land because his people were originally the ones who delved here years ago before the Noldor even showed up. He thinks that he has some claim to this, and maybe there's something about the fact that a dragon sat upon this treasure for a time, because we've seen what that can do. But Hurin is in no mood to deal with a dwarf trying to claim the treasure of elves, and this dwarf in particular, because Hurin has seen Mim through Morgoth's vision. Hurin responds, "Then you shall enjoy your inheritance no longer. For I am Hurin, son of Galdor, returned out of Angband, and my son was Turin to Rumbar, whom you have not forgotten. And he it was that slew Glaurung the dragon, who wasted these halls where you now sit. And not unknown is it to me by whom the dragon helm of Dor Loman was betrayed." Hurin knew everything. Then Mim, in great fear, besought Hurin to take what he would, but to spare his life. But Hurin gave no heed to his prayer and slew him there before the doors of Nargothrond. In this moment, Mim gets what's coming to him. He betrayed Hurin's son, and Hurin brought justice. A very cold, deadly justice, with no judge, no jury. It was all just Hurin in this case. And Hurin then walks into the city and sees this mound of wealth. All of this gold, all of the gems, all the wealth of Nargothrond piled into one location. And we're told that he leaves immediately. He walks right back out with only one thing. He claims one thing and leaves the rest. Now, one of the cool things about this is that among the wealth here is not just gold and gems and silver. It's other things as well. There are other things that the elves have made that are valuable. In future books, well, past books, I guess, if you talk about The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, they came out before The Silmarillion, but in future stories, let's say in future stories, you will hear about objects that are found ages from now. And there are conversations about, for example, Gandalf's sword or Thorin's sword in The Hobbit, where they discover these weapons and there's a conversation about it. Oh, these are swords crafted by the elves of the First Age from the city of, and they'll mention the city of Nargothrond or the city of Gondolin. How did those weapons just end up in the hoard of a troll or some other creature? And it may have something to do with the fact that a wealth of treasure and things that were crafted by the elves were left behind out in the open for anybody to come by and claim. And those things could have wandered off who knows where and into the Third Age. So this is fun to think about. What other objects may actually have been in this hoard that aren't specified right here? And in the midst of all of that, all the wealth, all the beautiful things that the elves have ever made in Nargothrond, Hurin leaves with only one thing, and he sets out. So where does he decide to go next? He's kind of going through this path. Yeah, at this point, you can kind of tell. He's retreading some of the locations that Turin had been at and had gone to. And maybe he came here for the express purpose of finding this one thing. We don't really know. That isn't told to us. But the next place he goes is to Doriath. The text says, "Now Húrin journeyed eastward, and he came to the mirrors of twilight above the falls of Sirion. And there he was taken by the elves that guarded the western marches of Doriath and brought before King Thingol in the Thousand Caves. Then Thingol was filled with wonder and grief when he looked at him and knew that grim and aged man for Húrin Thalion, the captain of Morgoth, and he greeted him fairly and showed him honor. Húrin made no answer to the king, but drew forth from beneath his cloak that one thing which he had taken with him out of Nargothrond. And that was no lesser treasure than the Naglamir, the necklace of the dwarves, that was made for Finrod Felagund years before by the craftsmen of Nigrod and Belagost, most famed of all their works in the elder days, and prized by Finrod while he lived above all the treasures of Nargothrond." And Húrin cast it at the feet of Thingol with wild and bitter words. "Receive thou thy fee," he cried, "for thy fair keeping of my children and my wife. For this is the Naglamir, whose name is known to many among elves and men. And I bring it to thee out of the darkness of Nargothrond, where Finrod, thy kinsman, left it behind him when he set forth with Beren, son of Berehir, to fulfill the errand of Thingol of Doriath." To say that Húrin is bitter here would be an understatement. Húrin has seen so much of what has unfurled. He knows that Beren and Lúthien went on their journey and to their deaths, their first deaths, because of Thingol's attempt to trick Beren into going to claim the Silmaril. He also knows that at times Thingol had in his home as welcome guests all of the people that Húrin loved and could have protected them, but didn't. But remember the vision that is given to him by Morgoth, by Melkor, is slanted. It is not the full truth. "Then Thingol looked upon the great treasure and knew it for the Naglamir, and well did he understand Húrin's intent. But being filled with pity, he restrained his wrath and endured Húrin's scorn. And at the last Melian spoke and said, 'Húrin Thalion, Morgoth hath bewitched thee. And he that seeth through Morgoth's eyes, willing or unwilling, seeth all things crooked. Long was Túrin, thy son, fostered in the halls of Menegroth and shown love and honor as the son of the king. And it was not by the king's will, nor by mine, that he came never back to Doriath. And afterwards, thy wife and thy daughter were harbored here with honor and goodwill. And we sought by all means that we might to dissuade Morwen from the road to Nargothrond. With the voice of Morgoth, thou dost now upbraid thy friends.'" Basically, hey, you need to see our side of the story here, buddy. We did everything we could. It is not our fault that they all decided to leave when we would give them safety and comfort and a place of honor in the king's hall. We offered that to all of them, and they all left on their own accord. And it's not your fault that you have a misunderstanding of what happened, because you've been manipulated by Morgoth this entire time. So, of course, you're going to see us as the enemy when all we've done is try to be there for you when you couldn't be there for your own family. And it was at this moment that, hearing these words from Melian, this darkness was removed. It says here, "And hearing the words of Melian, Húrin stood moveless, and he gazed long into the eyes of the queen." And that's key there. The staring into her eyes, that is the moment where
she is able to shine light on the events and convince him of the truth. And it goes on and says, "And there in Menegroth, defended still by the girdle of Melian from the darkness of the enemy, he read the truth of all that was done and tasted at last the fullness of woe that was measured for him by Morgoth Boglier. And he spoke no more of what was past, but stooping, lifted up the Noglemir from where it lay before Thingol's chair, and he gave it to him, saying, 'Receive now, Lord, the necklace of the dwarves, as a gift from one who has nothing, and as a memorial of Húrin of Dor Lómen. For now my fate is fulfilled, and the purpose of Morgoth achieved. But I am his thrall no longer.'"
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, this is the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our new patrons for joining us and helping to support this project. And welcome to Joshua L., Robin H., this is a tough one, Amikamish, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Amikamish B, we'll just go with that, and Joe F and Maddie R. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for your support. I'm sorry if I mangled your names. We all know that I don't do pronunciations particularly well without having to research them first, but thank you for being here. And a big shout out to all of our VIP patrons: Bo, Brad S, Brandy D, Chewbacca, David M, Drupal, Esoteric Rage, Jesse P, Capenna, Larry, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Patrick W, Sam B, Shannon L, Tyler M, and Wes P. Thank you for all of your support. And to all 202, we broke 200 patrons. 202 patrons, thank you for your support. If you are interested in hearing what you've been missing out on with the bonus episodes, and there are a lot of them at this point, and any of the other stuff that you get from joining us on the Patreon, like ad-free episodes and episodes a day early and all of that stuff, go to patreon.com/LOTRLorecast. The link is in the show notes. It's really easy to look up. If you Google it, just look it up. Go check it out. See if it's something you want to support. And if you do, then I will very much appreciate it. Let's get to the reviews. We've got some new ones here from a number of you on Apple Podcasts. Here we go. Let's start with this one. This one's from Mike SH in the United States, who writes, "Accessible lore. Deep dives into lore, regardless of subject, can be dense and dull. Your podcast makes Tolkien's world accessible. I first read Lord of the Rings when in high school and The Silmarillion in college, and have reread and listened to them in audiobook and BBC radio format for many times. Finding your podcast has connected me back to that Tolkien and sci-fi loving kid hiding behind his football playing outward persona. I am so glad to be able to explore the world again and now share it with my own kids, who wouldn't be shamed into hiding their love of fiction and imagination. Thanks, Mike. I'm so glad that you're sharing all of this with your children. That is awesome. And thank you for the review. This one comes from Violeth5 from Mexico. Hello. I'm waving to you from across the Gulf because I'm over here in Florida. I hope you can see that. thanks for your review. This says, while looking for silver, I found pure gold. I found this podcast on my search for some entertainment for my long commute to and from work, and I got hooked. This podcast has helped me understand and dive deep into Tolkien's amazing world. I'm currently giving The Hobbit a try and find myself rereading some paragraphs, as English is not my first language. I find myself loving Tolkien's beautiful yet complex work. LOTR Lorecast has helped me love it even more. Well, I couldn't tell that this isn't your first language because you wrote that wonderfully. And thank you for all of that. And I'm so glad you're enjoying The Hobbit. And by the way, even if English is your first language, reading Tolkien's work is antiquated. The language is a little bit difficult. So good luck with that. And thank you so much. I love hearing from people from other countries. And I'm so glad that you're enjoying the show. We've got two more. This one's from S. Ridgway in the U.S. who writes, Mysteries Explained. Before I found this podcast, I have only watched The Lord of the Rings and Hobbit trilogies. I had no idea there was a book that was written by Tolkien that explained the genesis of the elves. This is so interesting. I've learned so much, and I'm very grateful that someone has taken the time to explain the mysteries of the Lord of the Rings in great detail. Well, you're very welcome, S. Ridgway. I'm glad you're enjoying it. And then this one is from El Scacho from the United States. I thought he almost wrote El Scorcho, which is a Weezer song from like 25 years ago, but no, it's El Scacho. Good job. You can tell he really lives the lore. I don't know if that means love, if that's supposed to be loves the lore or lives the lore, but I think I'm going to start living the lore more, and I'm going to see if I can convince my wife to turn our house into a hobbit hole. Maybe that would be she's not going to go for that. It shows in the way he discusses the topics. Keep up the good work. Thank you, El Scacho, and everybody who's taken the time to leave a review. If you do leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I will read it out on a future episode. Also, you can rate it on Spotify and other platforms, but there's a big update to Spotify. So check your phones. It's rolling out. It's been rolling out. I think it's probably out to everybody. You will notice on the most recent episodes, it says things like, what did you think about this episode? And you can leave a comment like you can on a YouTube video. So go drop me a comment. Tell me something you liked about the episode, and I'll be able to read them. I'm not going to read them all out on the show because that would just be way too many things to read out. But I'll see them, and other people will see them, and they will be extremely helpful. And they'll give me some warm fuzzies, which is super nice of you to do. So thank you for that. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show. The end of Húrin's story is right here. This is the end. It says, then he turned away and passed out from the thousand caves, and all that saw him fell back before his face. They noticed that, like, he was a serious dude and he was not going to take anything from them. And none sought to withstand his going, nor did any know whither he went. But it is said that Húrin would not live thereafter, being bereft of all purpose and desire, and cast himself at last into the Western Sea, and so ended the mightiest of the warriors of mortal men. This is the end of Húrin's story. Húrin, who had such a great start, well, a tragic start, but after his father was killed by the orcs, he showed that he was a leader among men. He was a powerful warrior. And in this passage, it says directly here that he was the mightiest of the warriors of mortal men, which is high praise, especially because we've seen what his son was able to do. His son, who had so much more time to fight against the enemy, Túrin, on numerous occasions, in numerous locations, in so many different ways, every single time Túrin took up the black sword or his bow or whatever and sought out the enemy, he came back triumphant, even though he was cursed. And even though terrible things happened, and sometimes he ended up slaying the wrong people, and sometimes he accidentally did harm instead of good. His intentions were good, usually. And amidst all of that, we see how strong a warrior Turin was. And here in this passage, we are told that Hurin was the most powerful warrior among men. Now, how does that make sense? And if we think back to the things that Hurin had accomplished, fighting off the enemies from his own land, serving in the Narniath Arnoidiad, and fighting in that battle to the point where he was the lone one alive and captured by Morgoth, it shows that he truly was a great warrior. And imagine if he hadn't been captured, the good that Hurin and his family could have done. What would leaders like this over the people of Dor Lomond, if they had not been conquered, been able to do? Imagine Hurin and Turin side by side with soldiers that they had trained, with their family healthy, with their minds not warped and manipulated by the enemy. What could they have done? What good could that kingdom of men been against the forces of evil had things not happened the way they did? But that's the way things went. And just to remind you here before we head out at the end of the show, the thing that Hurin did that made him known as the greatest of the warriors of men is in that moment at the end of the Narniath Arnoidiad, where he is holding out. Everybody's being overrun by the orcs. He tells Turgon to leave, to get out of there, and he holds the ranks behind Turgon as Turgon leaves, and Hur is killed. Hur is shot in the eye with an arrow. Do you remember all of this? And by himself, Hurin and his men are now facing down the might of the forces of Morgoth, and all of the other men die. And we are told that Hurin by himself hews with his axe 70 times, has killed 70 orcs in order to hold back the forces, creates a mound of bodies and stands on top of them, fending off the onslaught. This is the greatest warrior among men. And there are great warriors. Turin is a great warrior. Aragorn is a great warrior among men. There are many, but of all of them, Hurin is the greatest. And with his son, one of the most tragic stories. And this is where Hurin's story ends. Next week, we will continue with some more tragedy, so be ready for that. It's coming. But thank you for tuning in, and thank you for joining me for these stories. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.